Okay. So, we have the good fortune of reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, the activities of the Prachetas, the wonderful devotees, the Prachetas. Text number 26. Nama Kamalakim Jauka.
Nama.
Bishanga.
Bishanga.
Yellowish.
Yellowish.
This is a little bit better. Let me just turn this down a little bit. Amala.
Amala.
Spotless.
Spotless.
Vasasay.
Vasasay.
Unto him whose garment.
Unto him whose garment.
Sarvabhuta.
Sarvabhuta.
Of all living entities.
Of all living entities.
Nirasaya.
Nirasaya.
The shoulder.
The shoulder.
Namaha.
Namaha.
Obeisances.
Obeisances.
Ayush Mahi.
Ayush Mahi.
Let us offer.
Let us offer.
Sarakshine.
Sarakshine.
Unto the Supreme Witness.
Unto the Supreme Witness.
Dear Lord, the garment you have put on is yellowish in color, like the saffron of a lotus flower. But it is not made of anything material. Since you live in everyone's heart, you are the direct witness of all the activities of all living entities. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you again and again. Purport in this verse, the dress of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his all-pervasive nature are described. The Lord puts on a dress that is yellow, but such a garment is never to be considered material. What's the word? What's the word in the verse that indicates not material? What's the word?
Amala.
Amala, yes, very good. Very good. Amala, spotless. Spotless. Amala. Amala means dirt, I suppose. Huh? Dirt, contamination. Amala means not contaminated, spotless. So, the garment of the Lord, the garments of the Lord are also the Lord. They are not different from the Lord because they are spiritual in nature. You know, there's the saying, clothes maketh the man. Clothes maketh the man. And a woman too, for that matter. Clothes maketh the man. You know, when I was a very young child, I used to have these recurring dreams that I'd be standing somewhere, anyway, usually in a crowd of people, but then I discovered that all I would have on was my singlet. Very embarrassing. And then I would spend the rest of the dream falling away, singlet down to my knees to not be exposed. So dress is important. Even at such a young age, I was conscious of dress. And of course, dress, Krishna is known as the most immaculate dresser. Just like you will see Srila Prabhupada. Even Prabhupada said, first dress, then address. Right? Very important. And so you see Srila Prabhupada would dress, even though he was a sannyasi, and dressed simply, still he was particular about how he looked. So it's important here. The word Sarva Bhuta Nivasai A. Because of Prabhupada still here with the dress in the first paragraph. The word Sarva Bhuta Nivasai A further clarifies how Lord Vishnu lives in everyone's heart and acts as the direct witness of all the activities of the conditioned soul. Another, referring back to my teenage years, I used to have this sense, because by the time I was 15, I was very interested in self-realization for some reason. I read the book written by Hermann Hesse, or translation of Siddhartha, which is the enlightenment of the Buddha. And after reading that book, I decided that I had to become a vegetarian, because it talks about a lot of philosophy of Buddha and karma, right? And that you get the reactions for what you do, right? And I always had this notion, or often would get this impression, that somebody was looking at me. Whatever I did, wherever I went, there was somebody keeping an eye on me. This is a real conspiracy theory, right? There are people who don't want their picture taken because they figure that, you know, using artificial intelligence, I'm able to track you wherever you go. Well, for your information, you are being tracked. Actually, it's not a secret. We're all being tracked, and we're all being tracked by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this is not artificial intelligence. This is real. This is. And see the power of the personality of Godhead. One of the beautiful things about these verses is that we're reminded of the potency of the supremacy of Krishna. And what a wonderful Lord we have as our master, right? The Pratyayas have this vibrancy and this immediacy and this appreciation and enlightenment, but also they're enlivened by this darshan of Lord Vishnu. And of course, for a very simple thing, for the fact that they cooperated with each other, this is their qualification for having a darshan of Lord Vishnu. Quite amazing. And of course, that's relevant for us. The Sankirtan mission requires a deep degree of cooperation. And very often the mode of cooperation means a sacrifice of one's personal ambitions, a sacrifice of one's personal aspirations, ideas, and very often a submission to the whole, a submission to the group, a submission to the devotees. But Prabhupada says that, you know, our goal in life is actually to be a servant of the devotees. This is actually our goal. The goal of life is not to be served, in other words, you know, to take Krishna's position, but rather is to be a servant. And Prabhupada says that the devotees' plans are Krishna's plans. The devotees' plans are Krishna's plans. And of course Krishna says, you know, he who says he is my devotee, well actually he's not my devotee. But he who says he's a devotee or my devotee, he's my devotee. No. So we're getting this insight and these realizations and these descriptions of the wonderful character of Lord Vishnu. So here's a description of his clothing and a description of his personality. The word Sarva Bhuta Nivasaya further clarifies how Lord Vishnu lives in everyone's heart and acts as the direct witness of all the activities of the conditioned soul. Within this material world, the conditioned soul has desires. Have you noticed that? Yeah. We have embarrassingly, we discover we have desires. And very often, we get us in trouble. Within this material world, the conditioned soul has desires and acts in accordance with these desires. All these acts are observed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 15, text 15. Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto mataha smitir jnanam apoharam cha. I am seated in everyone's heart. And from me come remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness. The Lord is present in everyone's heart, and he gives the living entity intelligence. According to the desires of the living entity, the Lord makes him remember or forget. If the living entity is demoniac and wants to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence to be able to forget the Supreme Lord forever. Similarly, when a devotee wants to serve the Supreme Lord, the Lord as Paramatma gives the devotee the intelligence to make progress in devotional service. The Lord directly witnesses our activities and experiences our desires. The Supreme Lord gives us the facilities to act in the way we wish. Om Maga Timirandasya Vinanjana Salakaya Chachurun Militam Gena Tasmae Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishnam Stapitam Jena Bhuttale Svayam Rupa Kadamahayam Tadati Svapadam Tikam Mokam Karoti Vacharam Gaiti Girim Yatkripa Tamaham Bande Sri Gurum Dinatarinam. So Sarva-bhuta nivasaya. Okay, so first of all, Kamala Kinjalka Bhishanga Amala, Vasase. So the Lord's garments are described as yellowish in colour, like the saffron of a lotus flower, but not material, spiritual. And Prabhupada makes a point here that the garments of the Lord are also the Lord, just like the ringer in the Lord's bell is important, but it's not there. Where is it? Who's got it?
Not the envoy's bell.
Well, why is it in the bell?
Initially, when we close, we wanted to avoid all that touching in this, that's why we put it on.
What? We've got sanitation, we clean it. You know, when you come in the temple room, what do you do? What do you do when you come in the temple room? What do you do? What's the first thing you do? Ring the bell. It's in the negative devotion. So, what do? We take the ring out of the bell. Come on. And then people are going to clean their hands when they come in, and then we can clean it, not take it away. You'll get this kind of reaction out of me if you take a ring out of the bell. Because I don't want to stop, you know, what will happen is somebody will take it out and it will get lost. Right? And then more trouble. So let's keep the ring out of the bell. Hare Krishna. It's a risk we take. But if you put it in your hands and clean the ring out, what's wrong? Anyway, so forgive me for being so dependent on that bell. But you know, yeah, my greatest fear is that bet that will get lost. So that's why I get upset at it. Okay. And then so we take care of, you know, Krishna's clothes. Right? We take great care of Krishna's paraphernalia. And why there's descriptions of it? Because it's not different from the Lord, and is integral. You know, it's the form of the Lord, but we don't see the form of the Lord without his clothes on. Like, just like we don't go out in public without our clothes on. In fact, we'd be highly embarrassed if we didn't. But a Krishna doesn't. It's interesting that Krishna has the most beautiful body, but yet he doesn't go out without his clothes on. In fact, you know, if you're walking around without your clothes on, what's that considered? seem to be. Dvipadapashu, he's just an animal. Right? In modern society, walking around without your eyes on is considered stylish. Right? But from a cultured point of view, from a spiritual perspective, that's just animal behavior. Animal behavior. Right? And so, there in the descriptions of the Lord, there's attention to detail and how the Lord is dressed. They're very stylish. Because we also like to dress, and like to dress in a stylish fashion. I always look at the border of my dhoti and make sure that my socks match. Do you do that? No. But if he walks out of the house, his wife checks him out. Hey, what are you doing? Move like that. Change your socks. Do you look at your socks? You know? How come you always look very stylish? Doesn't happen by just by accident, I'm sure. So Krishna pays attention to the detail of how he looks. And so we should, as I said, Prabhupada paid attention to how he looked. How a devotee looks and how a devotee presents is important. Right? It's important that we present in a way that's very respectable. Right? Devotees should be. And what's you know, our fashion is bald head, tilak, shaved, neat, dress, socks without holes in, not odd socks. The devotees used to dress somewhat in a detached fashion. There used to be when I joined, it was still there. There was a hole in the wall of the. Oh, you know where that? There's that section at the end of the Prasadam hall, because that used to be the Brahmacharya Ashram. There was a hole in the wall, and everybody just threw their washing into that hole. It was a remnant from the days when everybody's clothes were just kept all in one bundle. And you came along and took out whatever was there. you didn't always get a pair of socks. So the devotees were somewhat disheveled. It was considered to be renounced. Right? Renounced is a form of renunciation. I remember there was a newspaper called the National Review, and I'm not sure if it was Looney or not. Might have been Looney, but he had a personality that he used to draw as a cartoon. And his name was Harry Gumboot, right? And it was a lady, and he even had a sitter, and wore gumboots. So. Kind of representing this disheveled kind of devotee personality. But Prabhupada, didn't want us to be, he wanted us to be, and just as Krishna is very, Krishna, we are very particular in the way that we dress Krishna. We dress in a particular style and with style. So we should also take it. We should be particular about how we dress and present. So, the word Sarvabhuta Nivasaya says, or the translation here is, he's a shelter. The shelter of everyone. Sarvabhuta. And Prabhupada explains this shelter in a particular way. That's interesting. In that, we all repose our desires in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whether we know it or not, that's what we do. And because he's the one who directs the wanderings of I'm the controller of everybody. Situated in the heart of everyone. We're all situated as if on a machine made of the material energy. And according to our desire, we place our desires, our desire is reposed or given to. Because, you know, the demonic mentality, Ishvaraham Aham Bogi, you know, I'm the doer, I'm the controller. But ultimately, actually, that's just an illusion. For the devotees, we repose our desires within Krishna, whatever you want. And of course, when we chant Hare Krishna, we're praying to the Lord, please allow me to serve you. And so, in one sense, we're praying, please let me forget all of the material nonsense and material activities that I've ever done. Please let me forget that. And please let me remember that I am your servant. But instead of Ishvaraham Mahambhogi, it's Dasalam. I'm your servant. And please engage me in your service. And so the devotees are praying to forget the material realm and material activities and material desires. And let me engage whatever desires I have. Let those desires be in concordance with, in cooperation with, alignment with the desires of Krishna. In line, especially for us, in line with the desires of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya. This is our, you know, if we want to meditate, if we want to desire, which we'll do naturally, this is, you know, you can't stop it. And of course, the Lord is present within everybody's heart and he observes everything. He's observing all of our desires. Which is just amazing when you think about it, right? In the 13th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, we're taught about the nature of the knower. Right? The knower. And of course, there are two knowers. One says there's a living entity. And there's a jetra, the field of activity. And we're the knower of our field of activity, our body, basically. Right? And we have some appreciation of what's going on outside of this body, but only that which is acquired by the knowledge, you know, by the knowledge acquiring senses, and by the karmendriya, the active senses. That's all we can know. And we're a knower. We know what it is to know. If that makes sense. But how is Krishna? What kind kind of a knower is he? And especially here as the super soul. He knows what's going on in everybody. Right? And we're bewildered by what's going on in our body sometimes. Right? Especially, you know, I had this surgery and whew, man, the trauma. Body doesn't know what's going on. It's bewildering, huh? And painful too, for that matter. But life is painful. There's fun and there's sukha and dukkha, right? And we get our finishing. And that's bewildering, totally bewildering, right? But how is it? You know, we know, and we can relate to being the knower, but how can anybody know everyone? Right? That would just. So, what an amazing personality is Krishna, or Krishna in the form of the. What is it? Sarva Bhuta Nivasaya, the shelter of all living entities. That he knows everything about everyone. Wow, that's just amazing. It's inconceivable. Achincha. How is he able to do that? And at the same time, being aware of everyone, then being able to facilitate everybody. How magnanimous, how generous, how how beautiful is that personality who provides everything for everyone. And then even if they're a complete nonsense, with detachment, right? Being the shoulder of everybody, and then facilitating everyone, and even in their stupidest, you know, desires and aspirations and desire things that aren't even good for themselves. Yet Krishna allows that. How magnanimous. But of course also, looking out, looking after them. Very hard for us to conceive of how Krishna is looking after us and is actually looking out for our best interests. Isn't that amazing? That he's actually providing us with all of these. And here, Prabhupada gives very specific. How does he do that? By us being situated within the heart, and then by giving Madhasmiti Jnana, a Bhavanamcha, by giving remembrance, Smiti Jnana, knowledge, apohana, forgetfulness. It gives intelligence. And how's this for a statement? Prabhupada says, if the living entity is demoniac and wants to forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord gives him the intelligence to be able to forget the Supreme Lord forever. Amazing, huh? Amazing. But if the devotee wants to serve, if he wants to serve, then he gives the intelligence by which he can make spiritual progress. And that's that, you know, that's that cultivation of devotion. And for us, it means understanding what our relationship is with Krishna and how we are meant to serve. To understand Krishna's mission. The other day, Amal Gora Sundara's Balaram sent me a message on WhatsApp. And he said, I've got an idea. Why don't we have a festival to celebrate the victory of the Pandavas over the Kauravas? So I was like, yeah, that's a fantastic idea. But then I thought about it. I thought about it, right? And the end of the Battle of Kurukshetra was actually a very sobering event, right? There was really, even though there was victory, there was very little cause for celebration, right? And you know, what's the final scene? What's the final scene of the Battle of Kurukshetra? What's the final setting?
Bhishma died.
Yes, Bhishma died. Lying on the bed of arrows. And instructing the Pandavas. Right? Instructing Yudhishthira. And what's he telling them? What's the, one of the basic messages that he's telling Yudhishthira?
Accept the kingdom.
Yeah, the Krishna's arrangement. Right? And Arjuna knew this right from the beginning. He knew that this was going to be a disaster. He didn't want to fight. For good reason. Right? For good reason. Which is another, you know, sometimes working out what Krishna's mission is very sobering. Right? Really sobering responsibility when you discover what Arjuna had to give up everything and then fight his family members. How hard would that be? What a heart-wrenching challenge that must have been for Arjuna. It was, we know, because the whole Bhagavad Gita comes as a consequence of his of the challenge, of personal challenges that he had to face. In fight. So, you know, I then went back to Amar Guru Sundar and said, if you think about it, there wasn't a lot to celebrate, was there? You know, everybody had been killed. All the people with whom Arjuna would have enjoyed the kingdom were gone. And he was pressing it. He saw that and knew that. Right? So, coming to terms with what Krishna's plan is sometimes is challenging. Right? Just like now we have the Gopi situation. And there are devotees who think, you know, this is just Maya. Right? We are the Sankatan mission. Right? We should be prepared to die. What's wrong with you guys? What's wrong with you guys? You don't want to die? No, we don't want to die. We want to serve Lord Chaitanya for a few more years yet. But there's this tension within the society. Small pockets. But a very interesting video that the Roger Harry posted yesterday, I think it was, he was saying, you know, now things are opening up, we need to be more vigilant. Because as things open up, there's a greater chance of becoming infected. You know, we're already seeing the struggle that leaders in our society who have caught the virus and devotees who've caught the virus. And who left, who died, right? But we've seen it. It's not an imagination. And we don't want to risk the lives of our devotees unnecessarily, right? And so accepting this as Krishna's plan is hard for some of us, because they want to be, you know, they want to be valiant fighters on the battlefield of Kurukshetra and show their prowess and dedication. Fanaticism. Basically. Right? And it's somewhat, you know, with all due respect to the devotees, but it's somewhat neophyte. Yeah, this is a symptom of a neophyte. Whereas a Majjhima Nikaya works far more cooperatively and far more deeply, thinks very deeply about, not that they're not thinking deeply, but you know, there is a certain shallowness to that kind of mentality, I have to say, unfortunately. You know, the example that Prabhupada gave of, you know, if you know that there's a man-eating tiger in the forest, you don't go in the forest and say, okay, come on, where are you? You don't tempt fate. You see clear of the forest. and protect, you know, protect our service, protect. You know, we're not saying that they stop Sankirtan. We're not actually saying that. You can still do Sankirtan. Chant Hare Krishna, be safe. And it's, you know, the motto of the Victorian government is actually quite good. You know, what is it? Stay safe, stay together. Right? And so, you know, this notion of protecting each other by staying safe means that we actually stay together because we're still alive to do it. In due course, right? So, but it's a challenge. A challenge, yes, Lord Chaitanya says, what is it? Krishna Vanam, Tvisha Krishna, Sandho Sam Gaska Parshatam, Yagyaya Sankitam, Prayaya Jati, Hisumaya Saha. Those who have a little bit of intelligence, right? They have to have a little bit of intelligence, and that intelligence is facilitated by Krishna, to surrender to the Sankirtan mission. Right? Which means go out and chant Hare Krishna. Of course, we're never going to discourage anybody from going out and chanting Hare Krishna. But that's not what we're doing, actually. We're saying stay safe, be safe. Don't put yourself at risk. We don't want to lose members of the Sankirtan movement unnecessarily. We want to stay together. That's what Sankirtan is all about, is working cooperatively together. And so the senior devotees in our society have decided that it is better that we be very careful at this time. Don't take risks. Even though, yes, you're performing the Sankirtan Jagya, and that's commendable, still, don't take risks. Be careful. Don't put yourself in a situation where, and we need to be careful too. Maybe that's why the bell ring is missing. Maybe. Yeah. So, Krishna is very kind to the devotees, especially when they show an inclination to serve, then Krishna sends the devotees. Krishna sends the devotees, especially in this day and age. This is the Kali Yuga, and when we have an inclination to serve, then Krishna is going to give us that opportunity to reawaken, to remember our natural position as a servant. And so in that environment, Krishna then brings us into the association of the devotees. And then the devotees act as our guru. You know, Krishna, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada explains how Krishna as the super soul manifests externally as the devotees, as the spiritual master. And the devotees manifest in the form very often of the Sankirtan party. Right? Very often in the form of the Sankirtan party. And then what are they doing? They're chanting Hare Krishna. We hear the sound of the Maha Mantra and our spiritual desires are reawakened. Right? This is what happened. I heard the Harinam party and I thought, wow, what's that? You know, you should see the devotees and I thought, what planet are these guys from? What I didn't realize was that they were from Vaikuntha. they said they're from the Vaikuntha planet. I'm so attracted to the Kirtan. This is why the Kirtan is actually so important, because it's a passive form of devotional service, right? It's the beginning of devotional service for many people. And what's the first item? What's the first item of the nine items of bhakti? Shravana, hearing, right? So it awakens the bhakti in people, awakens the remembrance of this is the potency. And of course, that's Lord Chaitanya's mission. With Lord Chaitanya's mercy, and that is Lord Chaitanya's mercy, people reawaken their devotional service. This is how we reawaken people's devotional service very often. It's through the Sankirtana Jagya. And that's Lord Chaitanya, you know, that's our mission, our focus. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's why Lord Chaitanya would have very close and intimate discussions in Jagannath Puri with Lord Nityananda. And the devotees weren't privy to those discussions. Right? But what was Lord Chaitanya telling Lord Nityananda? Anybody know? He's saying, you can do what I cannot. Lord Chaitanya was preaching generally to the high class, to the wealthy, the aristocratic, and the sophisticated. Maharaj Kapaparudra, he's the king of Orissa. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the guru of tens of thousands of disciples. Very influential. Ramananda Roy, the governor of Madras. That's a look. But who's Lord Nityananda famous for liberating? Jagannath Mother, that's us, old friend. We don't fit in the categories, or maybe there's a few exceptions. But you know, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Maharaj Prabhupada. Prakashananda Saraswati, that was in the north. Yeah, that was in the north. So, Lord Chaitanya was encouraging Lord Nityananda. And what was he saying? He was saying, don't come to Jagannath Puri to see me every year. Huh? He's saying, stay in Bengal and preach. Because every year the devotees were coming to see Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was saying, you know, coming to see me is actually sense gratification. But my heart's desire is that you stay in Bengal and preach. That was his desire. And of course, the devotees wanted to come and see Lord Chaitanya. Why not? He was their life and soul. Yet he said, don't come and see me. I want you to stay. And of course, he was in the instructions to call the Brahmana, right? He was saying, if you preach, then you will always be with me. So, you know, this is quite elevated. It's service in separation. The mood. And in the mood of the gopis, it's in the same mood, is this mood, this Vipralamba Seva, service in separation, which is the highest. So understanding Lord Chaitanya's mission, which is the Sankirtan mission, and understanding how to implement that and how to do that in the Asa with a desire to liberate others, to help others. The body is paramukha-dukhi. He doesn't like to see the suffering of others and works always for the benefit of others. And that work is our sankirtan mission, our book distribution, prasadam distribution, all the things that we do, practically speaking. This is all designed to fulfill the order of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, if it's done in that mood of serving Lord Chaitanya, then it gets immense potency. Immense Shakti is endowed upon those devotees who understand the mission of Lord Chaitanya. You know, we're all here because of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. There's no other reason why we're here. It's other than this is Lord Chaitanya's desire. Of course, one great personality took on that mission and made us all devotees. So we are directly direct beneficiaries of Lord Chaitanya's mercy through Srila Prabhupada. But if we take that up, if we take up that mission, and in the mood actually of serving Lord Chaitanya by serving his devotees, and Prabhupada says, the devotees' plans are Krishna's plans. And if we take up that, if we're able to, especially when we chant Hare Krishna, we are able to embrace in the chanting of the Maha Mantra that Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Let me serve you. That's really what that meditation is all about. It's just let me serve you. And then how do we do that? How do we recognize Krishna's service? Well, usually by the order of the spiritual master. Right? This is how we recognize. And the order of the spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada is our spiritual master, and all of our initiating gurus will be repeating the same message as Srila Prabhupada. Because they're members of ISKCON and followers of Srila Prabhupada, so the instructions will be the same. And that would be to work cooperatively to preach, basically. That's it. It's not very complicated. And so we want to take shelter of the Lord by absorbing ourselves, forgetting the material, you know, all the material desires that we may have. And this is what Chaitanya Hare Krishna does, basically. It's such a purifying practice and such an absorbing meditation that what happens automatically is we forget. Krishna gives us the facility. If we pray to him, Krishna, please let me be your servant, then Krishna gives us the opportunity to forget all of that nonsense, all of the impressions, samskaras from uncountable lives of misconduct. And he gives us an opportunity to remember our spiritual identity. This is just the amazing potency of the Maha Mantra. It gives us an opportunity to remember that we're a servant of Krishna and to embrace the plans, Krishna's plans, the plans of Lord Chaitanya, even as challenging as they may be. You know, I was so attracted to the chanting of Hare Krishna and to the kirtan party, but at the same time I realized, that means I'm going to have to become one of them. That was huge. I was like, So whatever Krishna's plans are, I will embrace it. I will take shelter of Krishna's plans and that means taking shelter of the devotees. Okay, I think we should finish here. Does anybody have any quick comments, questions, realizations? Priya? Give Priya the microphone for the benefit of the audience. If there is one. You know, sometimes there's 60 or 70 devotees listening to the class.
More than that.
Yeah, sometimes. Priya.
It's a realization that the Lord and the Holy Name are not different. So yes. For the Pratyekas.
And His words.
Yeah, so for the Pratyekas to see the Lord face to face, and for us to see the Lord through chanting the Holy Name,
yes.
Should be related. I'm just trying to think of that analogy, and maybe we should be able to see the Lord also.
Yes, we do see the Lord, but it's an experience of meditation and feeling, right? It's, you know, our process is in this case through hearing, right? And through hearing the Maha Mantra, we're taken deep into our hearts. And sometimes the view in our hearts is not pretty. Right? Because so many material aspirations come up. But what do we do? What do we do when we're chanting Hare Krishna and material desires come up? What do you do?
Keep chanting.
Keep chanting. And hear the mantra. But we don't, you know, so many desires come up, what happens? We polish them off, right? And we meditate on them. We think, oh yeah, this is my good old friend who's been tormenting me for years and years and years and has never ever satisfied me. I have these desires, I've chased them and they've never ever created any pleasure or long-term satisfaction. But in reality what we do is, and in the Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a description of how the sugarcane juice is boiled down into fine sugar, right, Howie? And how, as part of that boiling process, there are impurities that come to the top, right? And how the sugar manufacturer scoots off the dirt and the unwanted debris and puts it aside, just puts it aside and keeps boiling. And so, you know, eventually out of that boiling comes the pure sugar crystals, right? So as we're chanting Hare Krishna, the impurities come up within the heart, but we keep chanting and we're hearing the sound of the mantra. We keep absorbing ourselves in that vibration. And then the dross goes. And out of that comes the pure heart. Right? That's what happens. But it's almost by magic. It is magic. Right? And then we have the devotees. We get the devotees. So, yes. We do see the Lord, or we do see the Lord's pure devotees, but it is not a vision with the eyes, in one sense. It's hard to explain. It's an experience. It's a revelation. It's a realization of one's spiritual identity as a servant. And it manifests in that mood, in that service mood. Right. So it's just like, you know, when we have a devotee come to the temple. Just like Mrinakeshri. When Mrinakeshri came to the temple, what did he do? What did he do? He said, what service do you want me to do? Right? Isn't it? And we thought, wow, this guy's a fucked up. Right? He just wants to serve. He doesn't care. Whatever it is. He says, the devotee says, do this. He goes off and do it. Then he comes back and says, what's next? So that's what happens. The devotee comes out. And then the devotee says, wow, this guy is a freak. He just wants to serve. But that's how we all come to Krishna. That's how it all comes. By chanting Hare Krishna, out comes this devotee. And what does he say? How can I serve you? That's how it comes out. That's what we see. We see in the heart of the devotee the service attitude. So what's that? Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Yeah, Padasevanam. It's quiet. It's the result of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. And we see it, we do see it in the service attitude. And also, we see it in empowerment by Lord Chaitanya. That's what we see. We see it in Srila Prabhupada. How empowered was Srila Prabhupada by Lord Chaitanya? And Prabhupada says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Krishna, and we saw it the other day, what is it? Haraye Harime Vasei Vasudevaya Krishnaya Prabhave Sarva Sattvatam. That Krishna is thinking of ways to glorify his devotee and to empower his devotee. Prabhave means increases the influence. Sarva Sattvatam of all kinds of devotees. So you see it in the sincere devotee, the pure devotee, I guess we could say the pure devotee, we see Lord Chaitanya, if we could be fortunate enough, we will see Lord Chaitanya empowering us to do more service effectively. That's what we'll see when we chant Hare Krishna, because that's what Lord Chaitanya wants us to do. So we pray for that, when we're able to achieve many things by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And of course, that's manifest through the mercy of the devotees and the plans of the devotees to do for that matter. Okay, anything else? Okay, thank you. Yeah.